The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, how are you? Hydrated?
Yeah. I don't know why I take big gulps of water like
right before I start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
We might be a little rusty because it's been a couple weeks.
It's been a couple weeks, but there's a new Fearless Flyer.
Yeah, we're no longer in the holiday Fearless Flyer. So yeah, the friends and mothers will get a taste of it a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's real gloomy out.
Yeah. It's that time of year in Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah.
I know, like, I understand why people say, like, oh, there are no seasons in Los Angeles, because obviously they're not as extreme as they are in other places.
Right.
But there certainly are seasons.
There definitely are, yeah. There are two.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, we don't really have a fall, do we?
I mean, I guess it's like mild.
Yeah.
Chilly.
Yeah.
We get some windy days.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't. And the leaves certainly do change colors and fall.
Yeah, but certainly like, we don't have as many of those kind of trees here.
Yeah.
Because we've got palms and other stuff. Like, yeah, so there are some like dead crunchy leaves on the sidewalk and those are fun, but nothing like where I grew up in the Midwest where they're like,
right, or like in Connecticut or
sure,
you know.
Yeah, in Gilmore Girls land,
yeah,
which is Burbank, but you know what I mean.
In Burbank, yeah.
But this is not a podcast about the seasons. This is a podcast about I bet there's a podcast about, do you think there are more podcasts about Vivaldi's The Four Seasons or Frankie Valli and The Four Seasons or Four Seasons Hotels?
Probably Four Seasons Hotels, sadly.
Yeah, those probably, get the most podcast mentions.
Yeah, I think we have both of those records, though, don't we? I know
we have
Vivaldi.
And we have like a Frankie Valli like best of, or yeah, Frankie Valli and The Four Seasons best of. I've never been to...
There are so many Four Seasons, there's got to be numerous podcasts about it.
Yeah. That should be a podcast where, like, it's called Four Seasons, but on any given episode it could be about Vivaldi, Frankie Valli, or the hotel chain.
Or where Trump had his press conference.
I loved that... So when that happened, the... Rudy Giuliani for Four Seasons Landscaping or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was a tweet that went viral that said like, oh, Four Seasons, I can't remember, it was a long name, like Four Seasons Gardening and Landscaping or whatever sounds like the name of a Mountain Goat song, and John Darnielle wrote and posted a song called Four Seasons.
I love the internet sometimes.
Yeah. I love John Darnielle.
Yeah.
What was I about to say? Oh, if we've ever been to a Four Seasons hotel. I've never been to a Four Seasons hotel, but the Beverly Wilshire is now owned by Four Seasons.
We went to that restaurant.
You and I went to that restaurant there. But it's not like, it's like the Beverly Wilshire, a Four Seasons hotel. But it's not like, in Los Angeles, the Four Seasons is on Doheny. I know where that is, but I've never been in there.
No, we should, let us know. Friends and mothers, if you've stayed at a Four Seasons, let us know how it was.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Vivaldi, Frankie Valli, the Four Seasons Hotel chain.
Okay. I'm going to fuck the Four Seasons, because it seems like a good time.
Huh.
I'm going to marry Vivaldi, I guess.
You're gonna kill Frankie Valli?
I don't want to, but I think that's what I'm gonna have to do. I guess I could kill the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yeah.
Is that what you're gonna do?
No, I'm gonna kill Vivaldi because he's already dead, so no loss.
Okay, I was thinking that would be like a nice soothing marriage.
I'm going to fuck Frankie Valli for whatever, no reason, just because I want to marry the Four Seasons so I could live at a Four Seasons hotel the rest of my life.
Oh my gosh, you thought of this way better than I. Yeah, you win.
I had exactly as much time as you did.
I know, but you won this.
Okay.
Yeah, friends and mothers, fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah, Four Seasons, fuck, marry, kill. That's what I want. Okay. That's it. That's enough bullshit. This is a podcast about the sitcoms Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each every week, and keeping at pace with one another, and we review, recap, compare, contrast. We have other fun segments and stuff like that. This week we are on to season 6, episode 21 of both shows. Friends season 6, episode 21 is called The One Where Ross Meets Elizabeth's Dad, right? And is that what it's called?
Yes, one... but also Frankie Valli is still alive.
No, I said Vivaldi is dead.
I know, but I was thinking, like, Frankie Valli must be dead too.
No.
But he's not.
Yeah.
He's 89 years old.
Yeah, and he's, you and I are watching season 5 of The Sopranos,
yeah.
Where he,
oh yeah,
he plays Rusty.
Yes, he does, yeah.
Starting in season 5. Anyway, what was I?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Season 6, episode 21 of Friends is called The One Where Ross Meets Elizabeth's Dad. Season 6, episode 21 of How I Met Your Mother is called Hopeless, but we're going to put a pin in Hopeless, and we're going to start with season 6, episode 21 of Friends, The One Where Ross Meets Elizabeth's Dad. So, we started the perk. Everybody do a shot of espresso. They're reading horoscopes, and Phoebe kind of predicts what's going to happen between Monica and Chandler over the next few days based on the horoscope. So you know that I'm very much not a horoscope, not an astrology person whatsoever. But I really enjoyed This Is Me Now, the Jennifer Lopez thing on Prime. The I don't know what you would even call, I guess it's a movie, but it's only like an hour long. It's so fun.
Documentary?
No, it's like a
narrative.
It's a narrative about, that's like metaphors for her love life, and then there are multiple performances of songs off her new album that are interwoven in. So there's like, I mentioned a bunch of music videos and then connected by this story of her looking for the right fella or whatever.
I don't think I could watch it. I don't like her as a person. I've heard just like terrible things about her, and I've never really liked her work. I know that she's like a great performer and dancer. She obviously looks amazing, but I've heard that like her staff can't look her in the eye, and I've heard like people get fired.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Jenny from the Block, she's still the
very, very unkind person.
But don't disagree. I like some of this new music. I've never really been a big fan of her music, but she is, to me, she is undeniably like a star, like the, especially a movie star. Like the camera has always loved her.
She used
loved
like really fun like rom-coms, which I liked. And I think now, I don't know. I think she's making like weird decisions.
But she just did Shotgun Wedding last year, but I guess no one saw it. I didn't see it.
No.
That was the crazy thing was like about Shotgun Wedding is that it was supposed to be a movie. It's like an action romance comedy, and it was supposed to be a like May-December romance with her and a much younger guy. And it was Armie Hammer, and they had to replace him when he got canceled last minute, and that's why it ended up being Josh Duhamel, who is, I think, younger than Jennifer Lopez, but not so much that it would be like a plot point.
I did like Hustlers, I will say.
Yeah.
I did like a lot of the movies that she was in the 90s and early
2000s. Everyone Loves Out of Sight. That's a great one.
That's true. I liked Enough.
I didn't really like Enough.
I liked Selena.
I never saw Selena. I never saw...
All of her movies are about like marriage.
Yeah, I never saw The Wedding Planner. I never saw Marry Me.
A Wedding Planner, Shotgun Wedding, Marry Me. These are all wedding.
Yeah. But I liked The Chambermaid.
Okay.
That was a good one. And I had something else that I was going to say.
Oh, The Cell? I like The Cell.
Oh, yeah, The Cell. And then she made one. I mean, you're looking at it. It's like 5 years ago. It was called like Second Chance or something like that. Is that what it's called?
It's called Second Chance, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that one.
No, Second Act.
Second Act. Yeah. I liked that one.
Okay, maybe I'm coming around.
Yeah.
No, I feel like...
But yeah, it's the idea that she's like... I do get that she's one of those people who's completely disconnected from the real world.
Yes.
And This Is Me Now is, in many ways, that's kind of what's fun about it. But it has a huge, like, astrology through line where she's like, the men she's going through all are different astrological signs, and she's like, fuck Libras or whatever, like, after she breaks up with
it. I feel like, I don't know, people are gonna hate me, but sometimes I think, like, people who are, like, super into astrology are kind of distracting from, like, no personality. A lack of personality. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't, I've seen that.
Yeah, I know. I have seen a number of people that I know, both in real life and on the internet. And yeah, I'm about to piss some people off who are listeners of the show too, I'll bet, who are otherwise sane people, mm-hmm. but are into either astrology or professional wrestling. And I don't get either one.
I mean, they're both fun, and for astrology, like, any opportunity to, like, self-analyze or self-reflect, like, is not a problem, I don't think.
But isn't, I feel like, maybe this is me being judgmental, I feel like astrology is not self-analyzing, it's saying, like, oh, I can't help this thing about myself because I'm a Virgo, you know? I talk about my, like, compulsive behaviors, you know? I understand that's a Virgo trait, but then Virgos are also supposed to be, like, athletic, which I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not, like, you know, awkward or whatever.
You're
not
indoorsy.
Yeah, but I'm not, like, I'm coordinated.
Yeah,
you know, I can like dribble a basketball. I can throw a ball. I can do all, like,
prove it.
Well, I can't dribble our basketball because it's flat and we don't have a pump.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm not, so I'm a Virgo, but I'm not like, oh, such a Virgo. But then sometimes I know, I guess that's what I'm saying, is that it's people like saying, it's not my fault that I'm like this.
Right.
Maybe that's me being harsh.
Yeah. I think it's fun for some people. Don't make it your full personality, though.
Okay. So Joey shows up. He's nervous about acting opposite a robot. He says he can barely even work Chandler's computer except to look for porn, and that's easy because porn's already up when he opens the computer. And then Monica's like, it's just like sometimes these like these misses from the past where I remember, like, oh yeah, we used to have to, like, pretend that women didn't approve of porn, or that there was something shameful about watching porn.
Yeah.
Like, why did we all pretend that?
Yeah.
What's not true?
Yeah.
Anyway, women like porn. It's fine. Phoebe is writing what she says calls another book. Turns out she's written 14 novels, but no one's ever read them except for her. Then Ross is all stressed out because Elizabeth's dad wants to meet him. I didn't put this in my funniest moment, so I hope I'm not stealing one, but Chandler says, wait, you mean you're not Elizabeth's dad?
That wasn't my funniest moment.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He says, wait, hold the phone.
We cut to Joey at work, and he meets Cheese, the robot, and he's, like, disappointed. Because it is, like, a lame, slow-moving robot. It's not a cool-looking robot.
Yeah.
He was picturing, like, the Terminator.
Yeah.
Which would make for a better TV show.
Or Wayne. Like, he thought Wayne was an actual robot.
Andrew Biglore, I think, is
Bill,
his name.
Bill Gore.
Not Biglore.
Bill
Gore.
And he was in a few things.
Okay.
That I don't think I've seen.
Okay.
But, like, NCIS and, like, some TV shows.
He seems like he has, like, a face that is familiar, but I couldn't. Yeah. So he's, Joey's kind of disappointed in this lame robot. Then Bruce Willis shows up as Elizabeth's dad. I correctly predicted that.
Yep.
And he is immediately intimidating to Ross in a way that I love. And we added the Bruce Willis thing in real life is very, very sad to me. The memory related disease that he has, he doesn't really, like, he's lost his memory. He's lost control of language in many ways.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Especially, and it's also very sad, potentially, that he was being exploited near the end of his life, but also, like, But I guess also like his team or whatever knew he needed the money because he wasn't going to be able to do this. So they like put him in a bunch of movies where he just kind of like had to stand there and be present, you know. But it's very sad to think like, because I guess there is an idea of Bruce Willis that I think this show is playing on, like post Die Hard, that he's like the action star, he's in like Expendables and stuff. Yeah. But he was also, you know, The Sixth Sense, Moonrise Kingdom, like Moonlighting. He was, I'm talking about in the past tense, like he's dead, but he's still alive, but he's not going to be acting anymore. Yeah. And it is very sad. But this was a reminder. He is like, he didn't just show up and phone it in. He made a character and he sold jokes that are very funny.
Yes, he's very like stoic.
Yeah,
in a funny way.
Yeah, yeah. Ross wants all the friends to like talk him up, and it's weird that he introduces it. These are my friends, Phoebe, Monica, and Chandler. He doesn't point out at first. Yeah. Monica later points out, "I'm Ross's sister."
Yeah,
but it is weird that he's like, "These are my friends."
Yeah,
including his sister, but doesn't mention it.
Yeah.
Back at their apartment, Chandler and Monica are fighting about toilet paper. And Phoebe is like putting it in her book. And so like they realize that Phoebe's new book is about them.
Yeah.
Cause she's staying at their place, like, right?
Analyzing a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like gone down the drain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Failure.
And so she's writing about all their fights. So yeah, I guess I skipped the whole like part of, I guess I mentioned Bruce Willis, whose name is Paul, meeting all the friends. But anyway.
Or Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Stevens to Ross. Steve. Yeah. then he comes back to the perk because he lost his keys and Rachel's the only one still there. So they start talking. Joey comes home from work and he's annoyed about the robot. He's saying like, as the start of the show, I might have to get this robot fired. But then he talks to Estelle, his agent, and it turns out he's the one who might be getting fired. Cause as he points out, there's a million guys who can play Mac, but this robot
is the only,
there's only one cheese.
Yeah.
So he might get fired. Ross goes over to Joey's apartment and Bruce, Paul and Rachel are making out on the couch. Ross is mad at Rachel, which I don't think he should be mad at her, but also like he says it's making it weird for him. And Rachel's like,
you dated my
sister. And Ross says like, the joke, Ross says, this is different because it's making it awkward for me.
Yeah.
But what he should have said is like, yes, I dated your sister, but when you told me to stop, I stopped.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a much better argument. Sometimes Ross is in the right, like about the on a break thing, but he's just like such a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Like, did you find, like, if you were Elizabeth mm-hmm. in this situation, the way that Ross behaves around Bruce Willis, wouldn't you like him less?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's so, like, spineless. Yeah. He's such a little worm.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
But she's only 20. She's not, her brain isn't fully formed.
That's true.
Yet.
That's true. Let's see. So, the friends convince Joey to use his natural charms to get back into Cheese's and Wayne's good graces. Phoebe is still writing about them, and then they start writing about her.
Yeah.
They call her Phyllis.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that later, actually. So Joey tries to make up with Cheese and Wayne, and he breaks the robot, and then he like gets distracted and goes hits on a like the costume designer or costume department person.
Yeah.
At dinner, so Ross and Elizabeth and Bruce Willis and Rachel go to dinner together. It's a double date, which has got to be awkward for Elizabeth and
they're
Bruce Willis.
They're all sitting so close.
Yeah.
It's like a little tiny corner booth.
Yeah.
They're squeezed in.
Rachel is trying to talk Ross up, but her things keep backfiring. So I love that she tells the famous prom story and Bruce Willis's take, which I saw coming by a mile away, was like, so Ross was in college and he jumped at the chance to take a girl to her high school prom.
Yeah.
But Bruce Willis, Paul, eventually tries to see the best in Ross, but then Rachel screws it up by accidentally revealing all of the marriages.
Yeah.
And
that she was married to him and he lied to her about it. Yeah.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Yeah. Emily, yeah. So Monica and Chandler are fighting again about they had planned to go to a movie and they missed the movie because they got they were going to meet at the coffee house. Why don't they just call it the Perk? they were going to meet at the Perk first. They got wrong about, they got mixed up about what time, so yeah. They ended up missing the movie.
Yeah.
Phoebe, because she's been writing down everything they're saying, knows what happened.
Yes.
And it turns out she knew that they were both confused.
Yes.
And didn't tell them because they were mean to her about her book. So they make her thank her for writing the book.
Yeah, to get the truth. Yeah. Which, yeah, they're pissed off that Phoebe knew the whole time and could have stopped it, but she's
yeah. And then there's some I don't know what you would call it, sexism or whatever, when Chandler tells Phoebe that she's the queen of everything and Phoebe's so are you.
This is under the umbrella.
And then he's well, I know I shouldn't wear this color. God. Wayne of Wayne and Cheese says he'll make a deal that he'll not get Joey fired if Joey will
teach
him some Riz.
An incel, because he's obsessed with all women. All of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least he doesn't hate them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe if Joey didn't step in, he would curdle into that incel hatred.
Yeah, I feel like he would make a robot woman.
Andrew on Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about... You and I were talking about, a recent thing I read in Politico or New York Times or something about, young women are young people tend to be more liberal than conservative,
mm-hmm.
but young women are becoming more and more liberal at a much faster rate than young men right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the side effects of that is going to be more incels because
women are going to expect better.
Yeah.
From men,
yeah.
And they're not going to get it.
But then I was thinking about that and I was thinking the in part of incel is involuntary.
Right.
And your political opinion is something you can change and decide on. So what I'm going to say, I know there are no young people listening to the show. Why would a young person, a Gen Zer be listening to the show?
Who's the youngest listener, you think?
Us? I don't know. If you're
a youngster.
I mean, let us know how young you are. If we have any under 35s, I want to know. If we have anyone in their 20s, oh my God, I want to know.
That would be a shocker.
Yeah, I would be very, very surprised. But I'm putting it in the calls to action. How young are you? But what I'm saying is, you can change. So I'm saying, let's spread the word to young men.
Yes.
If you want to get laid,
do better.
Be a liberal.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, young girls, expect higher for yourself and then, you can make it happen.
Yeah. It's what's the famous Greek play about all the women, stop sleeping with men to end the war?
Something?
Yeah.
Lyrista?
I don't remember.
Greek
play about incels. No, not about incels. Let's see. While you're doing that, Rachel continues to say things that are damning to Ross.
Lysistrata.
Yeah. So we're going to have a Lysistrata.
Yeah. But
let's all do Lysistrata.
I mean, that's what we were all hoping for in the Women's March era of, 2016. I was hoping it would get to that point.
Yeah. You know what's the problem? White women.
Yeah.
53% of white women voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, Donald Trump then claimed that 53% of women voted for him, just revealing his racism.
Yes.
That he, only counted the white women as women somehow.
Yeah.
If only people knew that Donald Trump was racist.
Have we talked
or sexist?
Have you seen his new sneaker line?
Donald Trump's?
Yes.
No?
He has a new sneaker line. Oh my gosh. Wait till you see these.
So Rachel continues to embarrass Ross, but eventually Ross stands up for himself, and then Elizabeth stands up for him as well, saying, "Dad, I'm gonna, like, my dad, Bruce Willis, I'm going to date Ross whether you want me to or not." And so Paul says he doesn't like Ross. Ross is like, "I don't like myself either." So Paul's like, "Okay, so we all don't like Ross." And Elizabeth's like, "I like Ross." And that's kind of the...
Friends and Mothers, Google wait, Trump's sneakers.
Yeah. Oh, that's very funny.
And yeah, they sold out immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not surprising.
He should have gotten Kanye's help. Since Kanye, like, Adidas dropped him.
Yeah.
Kanye should make his new Yeezys with...
That might be next.
Yeah. So that's the end of the episode, except we get a little tag at the end where they're shooting a scene of mac and cheese starts flipping out because it turns out Wayne is... making out with the costume girl.
Yeah.
The same
quickly.
Girl.
Yeah, a so lot of, like,
Joey can teach Riz pretty well, I guess.
Quick makeout sessions.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Like,
yeah,
it does seem like pretty fast for Paul and Rachel to just, like, look for keys, invite him upstairs, and start making out immediately.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. And good for Wayne and costume gal.
Yeah, as long as he treats her well.
Yeah, she doesn't have a name because she doesn't have a line.
She does.
Wait, she does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She does have a name. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Okay. Any other stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Phoebe, or Phyllis, is a lefty.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Sinister.
Sinister
means left-handed.
Oh, I thought, okay.
In, like, Latin or something?
Okay.
I know that from The Simpsons.
Okay.
Remember the Leftorium?
Yeah, the Leftorium.
Yeah. Great episode.
Southpaw?
Yeah, Southpaw. Okay, funniest moments. When they're reading the horoscopes, and one of the horoscopes is that, like, a secret admirer will be revealed,
yeah,
and Phoebe starts making eyes, yeah, at Chandler and licking her lips. Yeah.
She blows him a little kiss. That was mine, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you kind of took mine of... Wait, hold the phone. You're not Elizabeth's dad? But then to follow up, I forgot who says it, but I think it was Monica who said, "We know how hard parent-teacher conferences are." Which is true. It's a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah, it is. When Ross asks them all what they're doing later, because he wants them to meet Bruce Willis, Phoebe's like, "Oh, Rachel and I have appointments to get our hair done." And Rachel says, "We do?" And Phoebe says, "I want to see what he wants first."
Yeah, I had that also. And then another Phoebe line was when Monica and Chandler are trying to, like, beat Phoebe in her own game and, like, start writing about Phyllis, Phoebe goes, "Oh, I have tasted my own medicine. It is bitter." But her delivery is so funny.
Yeah. So when Paul reveals that he is a widower who raised Lizzie on his own, Phoebe and Monica are both like, "Aw," and he immediately goes, "I get that a lot.
I get that a lot." Yeah.
And then, well, I guess there's also a second one when he also says that his sister died.
Yeah.
And they go, "Aw," and he's like, "You don't have to do that every time." See, he's very funny.
He is very funny. Ross, like, comes in, and I think one of them says, like, "Oh, I thought you were at the children's hospital today."
And Phoebe says,
"Not looking for dates."
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's before Ross gets there. No, Ross is there, and Monica says...
And he's not looking.
Yeah, normally at this time of day,
yeah,
Ross is at the children's hospital, yeah, and Phoebe says, "Not looking for dates."
Yeah.
Okay. This reminded me... You know, one of my favorite Jennifer Aniston moments in the history of this show is when she's drunk at the date with the other guy, and she drunkenly borrows... a guy at the next table's cell phone,
yep,
calls Ross and then closes the cell phone and throws it sit into the ice bucket.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a similar, like, Rachel Yeeting things. She's helping Paul look for his keys. And she reaches under the cushion of the couch,
yeah,
and pulls up a keychain that has like a floofy pink thing on it. And he's like, are these your keys? And he's like, no. And she just tosses them back under the cushion. She throws
it back under instead of giving it to Gunther.
Yeah. I have one more.
Okay. I don't have any more.
Okay. Well, because I took one of yours.
Yeah.
I have one more. When Phoebe says the book is not about Monica and Chandler, it's about two other people. Who? Marcia and Chester. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
That, right. And that's why they called her character Phyllis.
Yeah.
But then we find out that Phyllis gets written into Phoebe's book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcia and Chester are mad at Phyllis.
Yes.
Friends would make it fashion. I have two.
Okay, me too.
One is Monica's whole outfit in the early scenes, where she's got a yellow t-shirt, which of course I love.
Long red skirt.
With yeah, but it has embroidered flowers up at the top and bottom. I like that. You know, I like yellow.
Yeah.
And then it's over a very red skirt that has like a. I'm not sure what these would you how you would describe this, but it has like a built-in like belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like this look. It
I liked it.
Like
ketchup and mustard.
Ketchup and mustard. Well,
that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Or Ronald McDonald, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, is Ronald McDonald supposed to look like ketchup and mustard? Of course.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Elizabeth is wearing a baby tee with a bowl, like a picture of a bowl, which is strange. And then I've said it last episode, but I really think that Rachel's extensions are excessive.
Okay.
They look like unnatural to me.
They look unnatural. Okay. I normally obviously with fashion we keep it to like clothes, but we're really talking about style. I like Bruce Willis's hair. I think because I'm so used to seeing him like in recent years, like shaved, you know, bald or whatever. I thought he had like he looked. I guess I'm just reminded that like you and I are closer in age to Bruce Willis in this scene than we are to Ross.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, I come to think of him as an older man because he's always been considerably older than I am. But realizing, because I looked it up, he's like 44, 45 when they shot this. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess just a reminder that, like, Bruce Willis used to be younger, and I'm not that old yet.
You're a youngman?
I'm not any youngman, but I'm not that old yet. If I can look at Bruce Willis at 44, 45 and go like, that's a handsome man in the prime of his life.
Yeah.
Then maybe there's still hope for me.
But it's also an action star. Like, he's a celebrity and he's, like, very handsome and attractive. Like, I don't know.
I guess it was just a reminder.
Okay.
Because I get sad when I look at Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Because of what's happened. But you've never talked about Bruce Willis as someone that you find attractive.
I mean, he's not my type, certainly, but he is attractive. I could admit that he's definitely an attractive man.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis or Tom Selleck?
Ugh, Bruce Willis.
Oh. I don't like the ugh at Tom Selleck.
I guess his politics are, like, pretty rough.
Oh, I have no idea what his politics are. I've always held Tom Selleck up because he's one of the hairiest sex symbols. And as a hirsute man myself,
right.
I've always looked up to Tom Selleck.
Hirsute. I liked him in Three Little Dads. What is it? My Three Dads? Don't tell me. Three Men and a Little Baby.
Three Men and a Baby.
But then
there's Three Men and a Little Lady was the sequel.
I knew
which
I'd
I never
there.
Saw.
I knew I'd get there, and I did.
But I've seen Three Men and a Baby. I haven't seen it since I was little, but it's
who are the
it's got to be bad. Should we play a guessing game?
Okay, Gutenberg is one of them. Steve Gutenberg, Tom Selleck, and who's the third?
It's the handsomest one. Well, no, Tom Selleck's the handsomest one. He's someone you love. Don't look it up.
I don't like these games. Okay, give me a hint.
He's been on multiple TV sitcoms. He's one of the most famous TV sitcom actors of all time, including
Tom Hanks.
No, including a show that you started watching and haven't finished. The classic show that he's best known for, but more recently,
oh, Ted Danson.
Ted Danson.
Okay.
Handsome Devil, right? Ted Danson. I feel like now that he's like a silver fox, he is right. He's got like a John Slattery thing going on now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 80s when he was supposed to be handsome, like, I feel like that, I mean, I'm sure he was at the time, but now, like, that 80s men's haircut, like, that's like a hair helmet, like, hasn't aged well.
Yeah. So, like, it's hard. Slattery over all of those three.
It's hard looking at him in Cheers and going, like, oh, that's a sexy guy.
Yes.
Because, like, his hair's ridiculous. Yes. Okay. Anything else from Make It Fashion?
No, but I have a props to the props department.
Okay.
Instead of Sprite, it was Sprite-O.
Sprite-O.
And then also Phoebe's eating Cape Cod popcorn. And Mazel to the Magna. There's just, like, scribbles, and I couldn't.
And we barely saw it.
I couldn't tell what it said.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
I wonder if it's still like, Joey, your audition was moved.
Yeah. okay. Under the Umbrella, what do we got?
Let's see. You talked about like the writers making these people like so square, mm-hmm. like Monica being like just like scandalized by Chandler's porn.
Yeah.
On his computer, and it's like fodder for a fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, Joey says at one point, well, he's mad at Cheese for throwing, like, upending the table and getting the sandwiches all over the ground. And he said, there's a limit to how many sandwiches I could eat from the floor.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
He's eating sandwiches from the floor.
We've seen him eat spaghetti from the floor. Yeah.
We get Estelle, who's bad at her job.
Yeah.
We get a Phoebe and Joey flirtation.
Yeah.
We get a how you doing. And we're reminded that Ross has been married 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we're also reminded that Ben exists. It's amazing how little we see of Ben, that he has, like, shared custody with. But anyway.
Oh, and we talked a little bit about, like, Chandler, like, not wanting to be feminine or whatever. Like, perceiving being the queen of everything as, like, oh, this orange shirt is too, I don't know.
Yeah. But I guess part of that is, like, because of his dad is probably why he is like that. Yep. But anyway. Also, they continue to refer to the perk as the coffee house multiple times.
Yes.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
No one says that. Yeah. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, we're back from our quick break, and we are ready to talk about How I Met Your Mother, Season 6, Episode 21, Hopeless. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so we start in 1983 in Staten Island, and this is the last conversation between Lil Barney, when he was 6, right? And his dad, Jerry, played by
John Lithgow.
And so he's saying, like, he's giving him, like, advice, and he's like, from now on, I'm going to be Uncle Jerry because this is the last time you'll see me. Never forget to never stop partying.
Yeah.
And then he does, like, a little magic trick. Like, he makes a pin. And what does the pin say?
It was a pin of their faces that they had made at the Legalize It Fest 1983.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
It had, and like, a pot leaf on it.
And he does, like, a put it behind your ear and then it disappears.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, like, keep this safe for me or something like that.
Yeah. So his dad walked out on him, and then in 2011, Barney walked out on Jerry. He's very angry at his dad and says, I never want to talk to you again. Yeah. Jerry calls Marshall.
Yeah.
Barney calls him anti-Semitic.
I'm glad you liked that. I was on the fence.
I don't know if I liked it. I just mentioned it. And then
I just feel like we've had lots of reminders in recent years that, like, anti-Semitism is not
a joke.
Not a thing of the past that we can, like, safely joke. So it feels weird now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess just, like, the play on words is always kind of.
You love a pun.
I do.
A portmanteau.
I do. So Barney agrees to, like, give him one chance to be, like, a party animal again. And so he has his friends change their identities. So Robin is going to be a Scotch taster. Lily and Marshall have like an open marriage.
Which is very 2024 of them. I don't know if you know, like, open marriages and polyamory are like...
Oh, yeah. Everyone has a polycule.
Yeah.
We don't. Marshall is a playwright also. Ted has like a whole list of things that he's not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
Lily has like a whole bunch of alter egos that we'll get to later maybe.
Which is like kind of... I should have put that under the umbrella because like Lily like... Remember when they were trying to get into the party where they ended up meeting Zoe? No. No, was it where they met? No, it wasn't when they met Zoe. It was where they... Oh, right, where Ted became the hit of the party, you know?
Yeah.
And Lily, like, wanted to have a British accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she always wanted to try on other personas.
Sorry, I just thought of something.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what else. Oh, also Robin and Ted are dating. And then Barney says like, "Oh, I'm going to come clean. We're also in a band." So they also like in their band play the theme song, which is fun.
I love that. They shot it like a new opening title of just them playing the
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hilarious discussion about the names of the clubs, and I couldn't even like write fast enough, so I missed a lot of those, but we'll talk about that later.
It was very Who's on First.
It's very Who's on First. We end up at Club Hopeless.
Yeah.
Robin sees her secret crush, and then we're which he'll come in later.
Yeah. Played by Michael Trucco, known to probably everyone but Natalie, because Natalie has long refused to watch Battlestar Galactica, but he was Sam Anders on Battlestar Galactica, one of the major characters of that show.
Okay. So, and then we get a little flashback of her being at a department store, and he's like, "How do these look?" He comes out of the dressing room, and she insults him, but in, like, a fun way.
Yeah.
And they never exchange, like, names or numbers, but they both have, like, kind of a spark.
Yeah.
So Ted actually like cock blocks Robin because they're supposed to be, you know, dating. Marshall is like bloviating about his ennui and his writing.
Oh, right. Because he's supposed to be a failed playwright or something.
Yeah.
Gin swilling playwright.
Yeah. Jerry didn't remember this last conversation that Marshall remembers so well. And Marshall calls him his stay at home Jerome instead of a party. Party Jerry. And then Jerry's like, "Okay, I'll be crazy Jerry." And then he takes shots. And he's embarrassing and he's dancing like a fool. And then him and Barney just like run amok around town and get into all kinds of trouble. Lily and Marshall are in a fight. And they challenge each other to like score 5 numbers in this club.
Yeah, because they like... Marshall thinks that if they were in an open marriage, he would get more successful than, which is like delusional. Are you insane?
No. Have you seen Jason Segel?
Have you seen Allison Hannigan?
Yeah, I think they're both equally paired.
But, I mean, this is going to make me sound like the incels that I was like complaining about earlier. All else being equal, it's going to be easier for a woman to get laid than a man.
This is not about getting laid necessarily, is it?
I think that's what they're getting at.
Okay.
I mean, they use getting numbers because they're not actually going to have sex.
Okay.
But I'm saying all else being equal.
Okay.
Lily, Allison Hannigan could go to any bar and find someone to have sex with her.
It'd be a sure thing if I saw Jason Segel at a bar and we weren't in a relationship. It wouldn't be a problem.
Or if we were in one of these open marriages.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he wants to join a polycule. and both of the winner get sex in the bathroom. They both want to have sex in the bathroom of this disgusting club. I'm sure it's very sanitary. Ted tries to help. No, Robin wants like Ted to clear it up now that Jerry has left the club. And then insults Ted. And then it backfires. And then he pretends to make a proposal. to Robin.
Right.
And then we get another flashback to the department store, and Robin's actually with Ted, and that's when he buys the red boots. And Ted gets mad at Robin because, like, they were dating at the time, and she had this, like, flirtation with this crush. And but then we also learned that the reason why Ted buys it is because, like, the shop girl's like, those would look so hot on you. And he's like, sold, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Jerry and Barney are fighting bikers and pulling out parking meters and puking on police cars and getting arrested. Barney wants to go to the strip club. And we learn that Jerry was just, like, lying about being drunk. He, like, fake had the shots, which it looked fake when he did them anyway. So yeah. I knew that that was the case. And then Jerry's like, I thought you'd realize that you don't have to be a partier forever, that this doesn't last. And then Jerry's like, I wanted to go fishing with my son. That's how it started. He invited Barney to go on the fishing trip with JJ.
Yeah.
So he's going to be late for it.
Did you have Barney's response to that in your funniest moments?
No.
When he says, do you want to go fishing with me and JJ? And Barney goes, let me check my personality. No, it turns out I would never do that in a million years.
That was very funny. It didn't make the cut though. Let's see. Okay. They are in the taxi with Miss Jenkins. How did he knew this lady?
He's a driving instructor. So one of his students lives in the city. So I guess he wakes her up. Although she's an old lady, it's probably like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
She probably was awake already.
For the day. Yeah. Lily won the game and they had sex in the bathroom. Robin's in a good mood, even though she walks home without her crush. And then we see the crush again. Like, yeah, it turns out she, like, got engaged. And then we, as an audience, learn that this is not the last that we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say an umbrella, but obviously, yeah, Ted says we're going to see Michael Trucco again. I did like that. So Ted thinks Michael Trucco is a 4.
Yeah.
And thinks that he himself is an 8.5.
Yeah.
But then we find out that Michael Trucco thinks Ted
is a 2.
Is a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a 4.5 personally.
No way.
Yeah, 4.5.
No way.
Josh Radnor is 6.75. Michael Trucco is 6. That's where I would rank them.
What are Barney and Marshall?
We're going just on looks.
Okay.
Yeah. So just on looks, Marshall's a 6.5. Barney's 7.3.
Wow. Barney's the highest.
Yeah. But none of them's that attractive.
Jason Segel, 10. okay. So Barney gets very reflective in the car. And they both talk about magic, and Jerry says, like, the real magic, like, a magician never tells the trick or whatever, but he's like, you just got to meet the right girl. And he's like, maybe you'll meet her tomorrow. And Barney says, maybe I've already met her. Wink, wink. And then Jerry gets out of the car and embraces JJ, and then Marshall declares, I'm going fishing with my dad. And then the final tag at the end is, like, they're on the lake. And then Barney says, this sucks. And then he swats the skeeter.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
Yeah. You're supposed to talk while you fish.
I don't know. I think also you're just supposed to, because you're not supposed to be loud. It's supposed to be, like, serene.
All right.
I thought that was the whole thing. It was, like, quietly.
Yeah, but you can also chat. Like,
I guess.
Fishing is just, like, hanging out. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Some people drink while they do it.
I think it's, like, peaceful and meditative.
Okay. My only stray observation that you missed is, or maybe not that you missed, that you didn't already mention is what I meant, is that when Jerry is first drunk, quote unquote, and he's dancing at the club, and Barney tries to get him to stop embarrassing himself, he says,
okay, small town Midwest preacher, do they outlaw dancing? Yes, so it's a Footloose reference.
It was
where John Lithgow is.
That was on he my was funniest the moment.
Oh, okay. I just like because John Lithgow was the small town preacher in Footloose. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so let's move on to funniest moments. Sorry, I both episodes I managed you to have stolen one of yours.
Yeah. I mean, just like in general, like the who's on first about the clubs, like. The shut up, shut down, and like the gay club is not lame.
Yeah, let's go to OK. No, OK's lame.
Yeah.
No, OK's not lame. Lame is the gay bar.
My friend and I used to do it on like LA restaurants because there's one called The Kitchen. There's one called Eat. So we'll be like, home. Where should we go? Let's eat on Sunset. OK, but where?
Yeah.
Eat on Sunset. OK, what restaurant? And then like...
Let's
eat at home.
Let's eat at home. Oh, I thought we were going out.
Go. Yeah. Let's eat in the den. Why would we eat in the den? I don't even have a den. Never gets old.
This is completely has nothing to do with what you were saying except about LA restaurant names. Isn't it strange that there's like a really good, well-known LA restaurant called AOC? Like before Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like now I wonder if people had to be like, if someone doesn't know, like, oh yeah, we had dinner at AOC. No, it has nothing to do with her. It comes from, so AOC is, it's a French abbreviate or French acronym.
For like the wine.
Wine or cheese or anything like, it's a sticker that says this was made in France under the, like, whatever. It's certified. Yeah, that's what AOC is. And it is, like, a French wine and cheese place. We've been there once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm up next. When Barney, at the beginning of the episode, is talking shit about boring Jerry, and he says, like, you know, he's had 20 years of lawnmower parties and carpool barbecues. That's his idea of the suburbs.
Yeah. He's like, you don't know what anything about the suburbs.
Yeah.
When Marshall and Lily are fighting, and Lily is, like, getting so upset, and she's like, how dare you? I brought French cooking to America. So she's actually like Julia Child in this.
Well, because she was pretending to be, what's her name from The Devil Wears Prada?
Right.
Which is also Meryl Streep.
Yes.
So she got her Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Why can't I remember the character's name? Miranda Priestley.
Miranda Priestley, yeah.
Okay. When Barney's handing out new personalities, he says, oh, and Robin, you're dating Ted. And she goes, oh, why?
Yeah. This might be stolen from you, but when Robin says to Ted, she's like defending herself and she's like, get off the field at the Superdome because you ain't no saint.
I should have written that down. I didn't because I did like that. Didn't think that was funny.
Yeah.
No, my last one is in the flashback when we find out that like Robin and Ted were still dating when she met Michael Trucco. And then that night they have great sex, but she like is pretending that he's Michael Trucco or whatever.
Yeah.
But he thinks that she's all horned up because of his new boots.
Yeah.
And he says, like, let me guess, someone wants to knock boots. And then he makes a little bunch of little gun noises. And then when he puts away his fake guns, he goes, boots. That's my last one.
I don't have any more.
I have nothing for fashion. Nobody looks good in this episode.
No.
I mean, especially, at least Michael Trucco's shirt in the flashback was supposed to be bad, because it was a bad shirt.
Maybe this is a stray observation. No, let's go into the umbrella.
Okay, so I will start. We get magic tricks.
Yes.
We get the gang eating Chinese food out of Chinese food containers. We get, obviously, the red boots make a big comeback.
Yes.
And then there's a version of the... legendary where young Barney says that he and Jerry are going to go see a Led Zeppelin cover band and it's going to be Led and Jerry.
Yeah, I had that too. But yeah, you mentioned like the being a magician, and that's what's his name is in real life. He's actually a magician.
NPH.
And, Jason Segel is also has written like rock operas and is a pianist.
That's right. And he says he wrote a rock opera that took place at a yogurt shop.
Yes. And in the band, he's playing piano. So it's right. kind of like yeah. playing into their
That's true. Skills. And of course, Josh Radner is a musician as well. We saw him perform.
Yeah. Okay. We get Chinese food takeout.
I said that.
So, oh, yeah. So much
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Also, deep down, Barney knows he loves Robin. It's like the happiest he's ever been.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. kind of under the umbrella. Also, just some like gay panic. Like Marshall was at the gay bar only accidentally, and he has to clarify that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that because I like the joke that it turns out the gay bar is not called Lame. It's called LeMay.
Yeah. 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 And that's all I had.
All right. Well, now we have to.
Guest stars, I guess.
Yeah. Similarities. I've got one big one, but you go first.
Okay, couples fighting.
Okay.
So Monica and Chandler and Marshall and Lily. Also dads.
Specifically, one person in the group trying to get the rest of the friends to impress someone's dad.
Yes, and I have that. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the gang and friends, like I'll try to make Ross look good.
Yeah. And then they lie to make Barney look cool.
Yeah. Also,
or Barney's idea of cool.
Marshall and Phoebe are both writers.
Right. Oh, right. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have to play favorites.
I guess hitting on people in bars, too.
Yeah.
I guess, well, no. There's no bars and friends, but hitting on people.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, we have to play favorites here, and I'm stalling because I don't.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
3, 2, 1.
Friends.
I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
So I like when Barney is self-reflective.
Right.
I like. I love the whole like naming strategy for the clubs. That was very, very funny. I like John Lithgow. I like this Friends episode too, though. They were both good.
Yeah, I mean, How I Met Your Mother, I said Friends. How I Met Your Mother right now. I was like, I said earlier in this season, in season 6, when they like went back to the Robin Sparkles well for the third time, I was like, okay, this is the beginning of the decline of this show. But no, they rallied. Like, season 6 has been really strong, actually. You know, all the stuff with Marshall's dad has was really well handled, but also very funny. Now we've got Barney's dad. Yeah, I really like this, but I think I just have to give it up for Bruce Willis on Friends. And I ultimately I had more funniest moments for this Friends than this How I Met Your Mother. And that's usually the signifier.
Yep.
All right. Let's catch up on our correspondence. Ooh. We have one, our old friend Jackson sent us an email, if I can find it. Jackson says a bunch of late...
I was hoping we didn't lose Jackson.
Yeah, a bunch of late jumbled thoughts.
Okay.
I didn't drink until I could legally do so, and the first thing I would buy was Smirnoff Ice Green Apple.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good first-timer drink.
Although green apple tastes like bad breath.
Huh.
But I like Smirnoff Ice. Green artificial green apple tastes like bad breath.
Those are my favorite Jolly Ranchers as a kid, was the green apple ones.
No, the best one is pink. Always pink.
Wait, what's pink Jolly Rancher?
Strawberry?
Okay.
Not the cherry. The cherry is the red one.
Yeah, no, that's cough medicine.
I also like the watermelon.
Yeah, watermelon's good. Yeah. I was obsessed with Jolly Ranchers as a kid, actually. That was my favorite things. Because I liked sucking on it until it was literally sharp. And I could, like, cut my tongue sometimes.
And then they would get stuck in your, molar.
Yeah. Let's see. Then Jackson says, I've never had good sushi, just buffet sushi, but I feel like I would have a texture problem with it. I don't know. Good sushi. But I also feel like until we go to Japan, we've never had great sushi.
Yeah, we can't say we've had like...
Yeah, but there is supposed to... I mean, I've had what I consider good sushi, but the ceiling on how much you can spend on sushi in Los Angeles is very high, and I've never gone up to those like insanely expensive restaurants, you know?
Yeah.
Like
some people... Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say some people argue that I've never had sushi.
Because you haven't had it in Japan?
But sushi is rice, paired with
because you don't eat raw fish. Yeah.
So it's cooked or with a fish. Garnish, and the garnish could be vegetable, it could be egg, you know. So I'm still eating sushi. I'm not eating.
I'm not the one making this argument.
Nigiri or you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been to any of the really fancy sushi places. I remember when I first moved here. This is a story. Okay. When I was pretty new here. And as you and I have talked about, and I can't remember if I talked on the podcast, I was like, I came here with like $35 and a dream, you know? Mm-hmm. I had no money. And,
it's your, novel.
Yeah. A friend invited me to a group birthday party at, I'm drawing a blank with a Y. Yamashiro?
Yamashiro, yeah.
At Yamashiro. Which now I realize, like, it's not cheap, but it's not like...
It's not super fancy.
Given how expensive sushi can get in Los Angeles, yeah. It's not like...
But it's on a Naka hill. Or whatever. It's yeah. Gorgeous.
You have to valet park, which I hate. And I was broke. And I ordered, like, was at a table. I didn't even know everybody because it was like a friend's birthday, you know? And I went and... I was at a table and I ordered one drink and one appetizer because that's all I could afford. Mm-hmm. And the friend who invited me was like embarrassed by me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do I know this friend?
No, you never met her.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And I hope it wasn't one of those things like at the end of the night, like, all right, should we just split it five ways?
No, absolutely not.
Because that always got me as like the vegetarian.
Yeah.
And like, I know it gets people who don't drink too. It's just not fair.
Yeah. Okay. So then Jackson goes on to say, black coffee, one or two creams. Well, then it's not black coffee, is it? Right?
Right.
Once you put cream in it.
But as opposed to like espresso.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Season 6 is the best How I Met Your Mother season. Mm. And I barely remember season 6 of Friends. Well, it's the one with Bruce Willis. Jackson says Amazed is a great song. Don't care about the video.
Oh. Do yourself a favor and watch the video.
And Jackson says, can't wait to hear more about Mystery Diners. Yeah, we will have one Mystery Diners at the end of this season, which is only in
it's been so long a month or so since we've watched Mystery Diners.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's still on Discovery Plus or else we're going to be screwed. So that's all our correspondence. Thank you, Jackson. If you ever sent correspondence and I've missed it, send it again or remind me where to look for it. There was one. Steph said that she thought I might have RSV because I was sick when we recorded the last couple.
Yeah.
I think it was just a cold because in November of 2022, I got sick with what I'm pretty sure was RSV, and it was like among the sickest I've ever been in my entire life.
And it lasted for like weeks.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now we're moving on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's a segment called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So season 6, episode 21 of Friends, the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad, aired on Thursday, April 27th. In the year 2000. A sad thing happened that day. A woman named Vicky Sue Robinson died. Vicky Sue Robinson was the disco artist who recorded the first version of Turn the Beat Around from the 70s. Not the 90s Gloria Estefan version. And she died. She was only 45 years old, died of cancer. It was her one real hit, but she had a career and was also an actress and been in an indie movie that came out just days before she passed away. So RIP Vicky Sue Robinson, who died on this day. Top 5 songs in the US on this day. I blew right past it, didn't I? Here it is. At number 5, oh my god, wow, this is a rough list. At number 5, Destiny's Child, Say My Name. I've already gone into how I feel about Destiny's Child. Yeah. Not a fan. At number 4, I know you're a fan. I think it's stupid. The Thong Song by Cisco.
I was in a Vegas pool at the Flamingo, and he performed live.
Yeah, the Flamingo Pool is a party, man. Yeah. Yeah. At number three, I don't know this song. Toni Braxton, He Wasn't Man Enough.
No, I don't know that song.
Yeah. At number two, Faith Hill, I Can Hear You Breathe. Yeah. And at number one, Santana, Maria Maria.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we're done with that one. Yeah. One of the other bad song.
Yeah.
Which is with Wyclef Jean, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wyclef Jean has a new song out that's like a partnership with an organization that tries to encourage Black Americans to save for retirement.
Oh.
And the song is called Paper Right.
Okay.
And it's Wyclef Jean, and also Pusha T has a verse.
Okay.
And somebody else is on it too. I can't remember now. Not a bad song. But it's weird, his like brand partnerships too. Okay. I have a distinct memory of there being like ads that ran before movies that were like for Cheez-Its, I think. And it was like Wyclef Jean was like the Cheez-It spokesman. Okay. And I just remember Wyclef Jean saying, check out Cheez-Its on Facebook. This would have been like 2010, 2009, a long time ago.
He also is like a politician, or he tried to be president. He ran for president in Haiti.
Yeah. But he
had to be resident for 5 years prior to the election, and he was
disqualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's got that Cheez-Its money.
Yeah.
Season 6, episode 21 of How I Met Your Mother, Hopeless, aired on Monday, April 18th, 2011. So this is heavy, but this is spring of 2011. This is the so-called Arab Spring, where there were a lot of uprisings and protests and outright revolutions across the Arab world. In Syria, reportedly, you know, there's the fog of war. We don't know how all these things are. But reportedly on this day, at least one, maybe more, Syrian soldiers were executed for refusing to open fire on protesters.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Rest in peace to those soldiers.
Yeah.
Or that soldier. There's multiple reports as to how many, like, of them were killed or whatever. Top five songs in the U.S. on this day. Number five, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Hey, I was born this way. Lady Gaga, Born This Way. And number four, CeeLo Green, Fuck You. At number three, the Black Eyed Peas, Just Can't Get Enough. I don't think that's a Depeche Mode cover. At number two, Rihanna, S&M. And at number one, Katy Perry, E.T. E.T. So that's it. Now we move on to our final segment, which is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on the shows using only the episode titles as guidance in the dark. but let's look at how we did last week. I got this one. Elizabeth's dad finds out they're dating and glowers menacingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that. Yeah.
Very much glowers menacingly.
Yep.
Okay. You said for Hopeless, as a hopeless romantic, Ted tries to talk himself out of the necessary breakup with Zoe, but the gang try to talk him into it. Yep. Yeah. The Zoe story got fully put on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we will get back to that. As far as next week, I'm going to look up the titles, but I'm going to need you to vamp.
Oh. Raspberry Mousse Cakes. Cherry Vanilla Sparkling Water. Red Organic Juice Blend. Black Garlic Cream Cheese. Double Cream Gouda. Buffalo Chicken Poppers. Calamansi and Mango Sorbet. Chicken Shawarma Bowl. Chocolate Cheesecake Bites.
Okay, season 6, episode 22. Yeah, because I'm to be loaded weird, and it was showing me, even though I hit season 6, it was showing me a different season.
Weird.
Luckily, I remember that the one with the ring is Jon Favreau, not Bruce Willis.
Right.
No, season 6, episode 22 of Friends is called The One Where Paul's the Man.
Okay.
I'm going to say that much to Ross's chagrin, Joey and Chandler befriend John McClane.
Oh, so like similar to the Tom Selleck storyline.
Yeah. Is it too similar?
I think it's a pretty good guess.
Okay. Your episode, season 6, episode 22 of How I Met Your Mother.
Mine is always so much more difficult.
Is called The Perfect Cocktail.
Okay. So the gang are going to judge their dates by what the date orders drink-wise and make assumptions on their personality.
Okay. Okay. So,
So I guess it, yeah, the perfect cocktail for the perfect mate is the question.
Wait, you're saying they're making cocktails with people, or they're
judging people's cocktail orders.
Oh, okay.
So the perfect cocktail, like the gang, Barney's gonna have one about, like, I don't know, some bullshit.
Some bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. The gang. What would you say they infer?
Yeah.
Entire personalities based on
cocktail orders.
Cocktail orders. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it.
Assuming you're going to win.
Yeah, that's it. We talked about the whole, both shows. You can find us. You can find the podcast wherever you found it. You've already proven that you know how to do that. But you can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You can leave a comment there. You can also check out my other podcast, Battleship Pretension. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter or Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. I feel like there's usually another thing I say there, but I don't remember what it is. So,
action?
Yeah, we were going to get that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, should we say, yeah.
Fuck, Marry, Kill, Four Seasons edition.
Yes, that's right.
How old are you?
Who's our youngest listener is what I want to know. Yeah.
We had another one.
Did we? Damn, I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, the previous weeks are all still open for correspondence. Yes. If you want to tell us how you feel about Hot Fruit, please let us know.
Yes. If you've ever brought hot fruit to a party,
yeah,
let us know.
So, like I said, those are all the places you can find me or contact me. Natalie, where do you want people to find and contact you?
I don't, as you know, but if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars, or tell us why we don't deserve 5 stars. And yeah, you could just write to us about any of those things. Until next time, we'll be at the Children's Hospital looking for dates.